the Lord, and welcome to Woman with Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I am so excited about what the Lord is going to do today. Again, this is our third week back on the air, and we have been bringing some powerful, powerful guests to the spotlight. Today, I have two spotlight guests. I am privileged to be joined today by Regina Robinson, who is the founder of Suited for Success, and Meredith Hammond of Simply Saying. So we are getting ready to be blessed by two powerful women of God who also had a vision and took that vision and ran with it. So we are getting ready to go into our show. We're going to be bringing our first guest on shortly. But before we do that, there's a segment of the broadcast that's called It's a God Thing, What Would You Do? And I'm going to open up the switchboard. I heard this question while I was in the car this morning. I took my daughter to school. You know, we've been bombarded with all of this snow, and we thank God for it because this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. But I was listening to this show on this morning, and I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I was listening to the Yolanda Adams, the morning show, and the question that was presented to the guys, because Yolanda wasn't there, the question that was presented was, my pastor keeps his text messages and his phone messages private from his wife, who is my co-pastor, who is also the pastor, but the pastor does not allow his wife. He keeps them secret. He keeps the text messages and the phone messages hidden from his wife. Is that good? Is that a good thing or is it not? So I'm going to open up the phone lines and allow you to give me your take on what you feel about that. Is it okay for your man or your husband or your boo to keep their text messages secret from you? Or do you want to know, is that a problem that he doesn't reveal to you what's going on with his phone and everything's on lockdown? So we're just going to take a couple callers just before I bring my first guest. Just press one on your switchboard, press one on your phone. I can see you. I see all of you calling in, and I thank God for each and every one of you. But the question is it okay for your man to lock down his phone and for you not to have access to what's going on with his phone? The brothers on the show this morning said that it's his phone, and he should be able to lock it down if he wants to. It's his phone. He pays the bill. They also said that women do text them, and they lock the phone down because they don't want the woman to catch feelings about the text messages that are coming that really don't mean anything to them, being that they're both public figures. So what's your take on that? I'm going to give you my take of, because another part of this segment is Ask Pastor Rebecca. It's a God thing. I believe in boundaries. As you know, my husband and I wrote the book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work, and we have a chapter in the book called Boundaries. So we believe that your marriage is a valuable asset, and it should be protected. Just like you wouldn't leave your diamond ring just laying around on the table for anybody to pick up, you would guard that diamond ring with your life because it's something that you treasure. So I would say no, it's not okay for the man to lock down his phone. Now, if it's okay for you and your relationship, that's fine. Again, I believe in boundaries. My husband and I believe in boundaries. Now, my husband would say maybe it's a trust issue that she has to go looking through his phone. And maybe she does have a trust issue. I used to have a trust issue where I had very low self-esteem. And not only did I have low self-esteem, but I also had been hurt in the past. So as a result of being hurt in the past, I did not trust any man. So my husband had to prove to me that he was trustworthy. And it wasn't his fault, it was the fault of other people, other men that I had been in relationship with. But he loved me enough to allow me to go through what I needed to go through and to allow me to go through his phone. He loved me enough until I could trust him. Amen. And I have to say, after 20 years, after almost 20 years of marriage, 21 years of being together, I have never found anything to complain about. I've never found any phone numbers from other women. I've never found any secretive things that should not have been in his phone. So he has proven to be trustworthy. So my take on it is no, it's not okay for him to lock the phone down. If it has to be hidden, then there's a problem. The phone should be there should be open access, not only for his phone, but for your phone. And both of you should be respecting each other so that there's nothing to be concerned about or there's no cause for jealousy or insecurity. Amen. So since nobody has been bold enough to raise your hand to answer that question, I'll just leave it at that. It's a God thing. We have to be respectful of each other. We have to live with each other in understanding. We have to put boundaries around our marriage. And also the Bible tells the man to cleave to his wife. So he doesn't need those other women texting him. Amen. And that's just my take. Again, you may conduct yourself differently in your relationship, but that is my take. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's time for me to introduce my first guest on today. I have two guests that I am spotlighting on today. My first spotlight guest is Regina Robinson. Amen. Regina Robinson. And I met her on Facebook. There are a lot of powerful women on Facebook. There are people who are out there and making it happen. There are people who are serious about the vision that God has given them, and they are not quitting. They are forging full speed ahead, not only to make their dreams come true, but to make other people's dreams come true. And that's why I'm excited about the two women who are coming on today, because that's exactly what they do. So our first guest is Regina Robinson. Regina Robinson is the founder and CEO of Suited for Success College Planning Services. As a former educator, her 10-plus years of experience in the field of education affords her the opportunity to motivate and support students in their desire to choose an institution of higher learning that fits their academic and social needs. As an educational coach, she finds great honor in working with young people. She dedicates her time to staying abreast with current changes in the college admissions process, gaining extensive firsthand knowledge of colleges by meeting with admissions counselors and financial aid administrators, touring campuses, and getting a feel for the environment, attending workshops, professional conferences, seminars, and webinars, and college fairs. She continues to take students to visit colleges around the East Coast and to present college workshops for high schools, community organizations, and churches. Suited for Success continues to work with local schools to maintain a long-standing relationship because they believe that college consulting should complement and not replace services already available within the schools. Regina Robinson is a graduate of, I'm going to say Bowie, maybe Bowie State University, where she received her undergraduate degree in business management, and Georgetown University, where she earned her master's degree in liberal studies. In her effort to enhance access to higher education for all students, Regina is a member of the Higher Education Consultant Association and the Potomac and Chesapeake Association for College Admission, for College Admission Counseling. This woman is on fire with the vision that she has to make college happen for young people everywhere. Not only does she help young women, but she also helps young men to find the correct, the just the right fit for them as far as their higher education is concerned. So without further delay, I bring to you Miss Regina Robinson. God bless you, and welcome to Women for Women with Pastor Rebecca.
Thank you, Pastor Rebecca, for such kind words, and thank you for inviting me on your show this evening.
Amen. Well, welcome. I'm so glad that you agreed to come. And, you know, it's amazing how God allows us to meet different people along our journey. And I was telling you when we spoke on last week that I actually have a junior in high school. So not only am I introducing you to my audience, but I have already been able to obtain information from you regarding your services and what you do. And I want to share that with everybody on tonight. So why don't you just go ahead and begin to tell us, I know I read your bio, but I want to have you tell us, why is it that you do what you do with Suited for Success? What is the reason that you do what you do?
So for me, I tell people all the time that name or logo that's out there for glitz and glamour, it truly is a testament of my life. I was just like a lot of 17 and 16-year-old students in high school when they were trying to figure out what to do in the college process and didn't have the resources and didn't have the opportunity to know what steps to take, because they could have been like me, a first-generation college-bound student, as well as a lot of my friends. So we were left trying to figure things out on our own and working with each other to network to try and get through the college process. And so as I became a high school educator, I saw that same thing happening decades later with students in my classes, and they were probably first generation, a lot of them college-bound students, and others were not, but they still was needing help. And so just like me, when I had to dig in the file cabinet in the corner to look at applications and take them home for my mom to try and help me figure out, that still was happening for students now. And I felt that that was still a disconnect, because I know how I felt years ago. So I can just imagine how these students were feeling now that the process is even more strenuous. So I felt like it was my due back to not only help other students, because I know that's what I went through, but for me, it was me discovering my purpose in the midst of my unfamiliar, because I, too, was just like those 16 and 17-year-olds trying to figure it out. And for all the parents who love their children and want to make sure they have the best, as my mom did, but there was something she just couldn't help me with. And so when you go to school and the counselors are saying you need to complete your applications, complete scholarships, and don't forget to do your financial aid. Well, that all sounds great, but to some students that sounds like that person is speaking in a foreign language. Because if they're not familiar with what all that means, then they're stuck doing all that on their own.
Exactly. And that is just so important that we have someone to guide us through the process. Because as you were saying, you know, with the paperwork, a lot of us as parents don't even know how to get through all of the paperwork before. Why don't we talk a little bit about the preparation process? Because, again, a lot of us don't know where to start. Where is it that you would say it would be best for us to start? But let me ask you this question before you answer that question. What is the place that you find that most parents and students are feeling short in the process of preparing for college?
So for the most part is knowing where to begin.
Yes.
The overwhelmingness of the whole process and knowing how to get started. Most parents are believing that their children are getting the to-dos and the steps at school. And it's unfortunate, as much as the guidance counselors want to help students, when there's 300 and 400 kids to every one guidance counselor, it is almost impossible for a counselor to sit down with each student and direct them step by step. So the process is becoming, it's falling by the wayside because parents are thinking that their students are getting what they need, and unfortunately at school they're not. So falling short is knowing where do you begin with your children.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And do you help parents to obtain the most amount of financial aid that they can get for their students?
So, yeah, so in our program, what we do is a lot of times students do college research, and they're not really sure what college research means. They just hear the word college research, and they go on a website and say, oh, yeah, this looks good. The pictures look nice. Looks like the students are having fun. Well, that's not college research. College research is when you're out there looking to ensure that you fall within the 50 percentile of that college, and that's what we do at Student for Success. That's the first thing we're looking at. Where do you rank within this college academically as well as your test scores? Because then that means you'll get some money, and they don't care what your parents make financially. And then we're looking at, is that school going to be the right fit for you? Are you looking for a small, medium, or large school? Are you looking to be in the city or in suburban areas? What areas are you looking to be in? And most importantly, what are you looking to major in? And not only just thinking of the one major you have, because we all know if we went to college, we changed our major probably at least 2 or 3 times while we were in college before we got out.
Yeah.
So making sure that that plays a part, but that's not the first denominator, you know, the main point, because, again, we've all changed our major. So the most important thing is making sure the students find the right fit school for them, because, after all, they have to look at that as home for the next 4 years of their life.
Yes, exactly. Now, I know that you graduated from a liberal arts college. Is there something that's recommended? My daughter has been getting, because she wants to be a teacher. She's been getting a lot of bringing a lot of attention from liberal arts schools. Is that something that we should be looking into, or again, is this something that we would do as a case by case with your company?
Can you repeat it? You broke up at the beginning of the question, so all I heard was case by case.
Is it a good idea to go into a liberal arts college? Like, if she wants to be a teacher, say a student wants to be a teacher, is it the best idea for them to go to a liberal arts school? Or, again, would that be a case-by-case incident where she would come to you and talk to you, we would come and talk to you about different schools and what school she's interested in?
Well, that's twofold. It's definitely dependent upon the student, and liberal arts education offer great opportunities, but liberal arts schools aren't for everyone. And so just like you can go to a liberal arts school and do well as an education major, you can go to a diverse public or private school and do well as an education major, as well as an HBCU public or private school and do well as an education major. So it is just dependent upon what that student is looking for in their college campus environment, and that would help to say whether a liberal arts education is best suited for them.
Amen, amen. Well, I want to just have you speak to the audience for a few minutes about the college preparation process and what it is that you feel would be, instead of me giving you questions, what I want to do is give you the mic. I want to give you the mic and just have you begin to encourage and motivate and inspire and exhort the audience on making sure that we do everything we can, not just for our children, because I'm sure that there are some adult college students out there also that would be able to benefit from this information. So I'm just going to give you the mic and allow you to begin to tell us about what you do and what it is you need us to know. What is it? I want you to take this opportunity and let us know what it is that we need to know or what you feel would be most beneficial for us to know pertaining to the process and just begin to speak to us about what we need to do in this area.
So I guess I'll start with charging the parents. So this is for all the parents that are listening, and then I'll give them nuggets for their students. But for the parents, most importantly, when your child enters high school, it isn't the opportunity for you to go on autopilot. You need to stay very involved with your children. They need you then more than they've ever needed you. So I know there's a misconception that once they get to high school, they should be able to handle things. They should be more mature. You shouldn't have to really follow up on their grades. Well, it's very important to stay involved in their academic achievements, because if you don't, by the time you do decide to pay attention, you know, parents find me and their kids might be a junior or a senior in high school, and now they've decided to pay attention to their students' academics because they don't want their child to be the only child not going to a four-year school. Well, by then, you look at their transcripts, and it's almost as if they have no other choice but to go to a two-year school because some haven't done well. Then you have others who do extremely well. So I think that it's important, no matter what type of child you have, that you stay involved and that you do not go on autopilot with your children. Also, for parents, number two, to make sure they provide their children with resources. Oftentimes, students don't want to come home and tell their parents they need a tutor because, quote-unquote, in the school halls, getting a tutor means you're dumb. That's absolutely absurd. You're not dumb if you need a tutor. That just means you need extra help in trying to get better grades because you want to be successful. So definitely making sure that they're getting extra help and resources and tutoring maybe in just their academic classes, and most importantly, in preparing for the SAT and the ACT exam, because it is not an easy test for students to just walk in and just out of the blue they're going to pass with flying colors. They do need practice and they need preparation. And third, most importantly, parents continue to encourage their children that whatever they want to achieve, they can achieve that as long as they put in hard work. Nothing is able to be done without putting in hard work, so they have to let their children know that they have to give 100% in everything that they're trying to achieve. So that's definitely nuggets for parents, because I find a lot of times often the parents kind of do allow their children to go on their own once they get into high school. And stop thinking that college doesn't begin until your child is a senior in high school. If you wait to get your children prepared for college in their senior year, they already missed the college process. It starts the minute they walk in high school. Why? Because they have to make sure they sign up for the right classes in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th, and 12th. They need to make sure in the summer times they're doing programs that's going to assist them and set them up in a college-bound manner, as well as taking academic rigorous courses. And not only taking them, but doing well in the courses and taking courses that are an interest to what they're thinking about majoring in when they do go off to college, so that they have an idea of whether that's something they're interested in even doing. And so for students, it's important that students start planning. And when I say planning, that is meaning deciding what your goals are. Do you desire to go to college, or do you want to go to a trade school? Because everyone isn't ready for college, or everyone doesn't desire to go to college. Do you want to go to a two-year community college and start off and then transfer to a four-year college? Start planning the minute you hit 9th grade. So therefore, you have already set expectations for yourself, and then that way, when you set expectations, you're determined to make those expectations a reality, because no one wants to let themselves down. But when we as parents set the expectations for the kids, oftentimes they don't maybe necessarily meet the bill, because guess what? We set the expectation, not them. And yes. So also making sure the students are planning what they want to do in high school, if they're going to play athletics, if they're going to be involved in extracurricular activities, what they're going to do for community service, because all of those things are so important in getting prepared and colleges looking at you as a well-rounded student. And then most importantly, when you plan, you got to prepare. Making sure they prepare. You can't make a plan and then not prepare. Preparing means doing well in your classes. Start researching colleges. Start going to college fairs. Start going on college tours. That is so important. A lot of students are choosing colleges sight unseen. They have never seen these college campuses, but they know someone else in school last year went to that college, or it's their parents' alma mater. Now, parents, don't push your alma mater on your children. Just because it's a good school for you does not mean it's a great school for your child. Now, I want my daughter to go to Georgetown, don't get me wrong, but that might not be the place for her. So I'm not going to force that on her. But most parents are, oh, you should go to my alumni because that's where I graduated from and it's the best college. Just because it was for you doesn't mean it's for them. And so we have to be mindful of that. And then also, you know, students, it's important for them to see a college campus. How else could they create a college list if they don't know what a small school looks like, what a medium school looked like, or what a large? I can remember when I was in high school, one of my girlfriends came to school and told us all she found out about a college tour. We were all so excited because none of us had started really applying to schools because we hadn't seen any campuses. So we got to finally go on a college tour, and that was our glimmer of, that was our first glimmer of hope, us going on that college tour. Because from there, we knew exactly what we had to look forward to. But the only thing was, we only had those schools on our list because that was all we saw. So you have to expose your children to being able to see all types of colleges, and that is liberal arts, diverse, public, private, HBCUs, everything that they have an opportunity to be exposed to, they should have an opportunity to be exposed to. And it does not start senior year because by then it's too late. You can't create a list in senior year. It should have already been created the summer of your junior year. So when we say prepare, we really do mean prepare. And then most importantly, students have to take action. It's one thing to have a plan and it's one thing to prepare, and then you don't do anything to take action. And that is starting to take those college applications serious, get the deadlines, meet them, get your applications in, get your recommendation letters, start applying to scholarships, and most importantly, getting your financial aid and stuff done all in a timely fashion, because the process is going to go very fast senior year, and students have to be prepared.
Wow. Wow. That is a lot of good information. I want to ask, I have a switchboard, a full switchboard here. I want to ask anybody if you have any questions. While we have Regina here, we're going to allow her to answer a couple of questions. So if you have a question or a comment for Regina Robinson, just press 1 on your phone, and I'll put you on the line with her. I'll put you on the air so that you can ask your question. Now is the time. I know I've asked her a few questions, but you might have something specific that you might want to ask. So Regina, I mean, that is just, you know, when you think about it, the preparation process, there's, when you think about everything that it takes to get your child to college, there's a lot of work to be done. And one of the things that I heard that's a takeaway for me is to make sure that your child is self-motivated and that you are allowing your child to be to choose the college that they want to go to, because that will, you know, probably guarantee more of a success rate for the child. Like if my child goes to the school that I want her to go to, then she might not be as motivated to stay in school and to do good. But if she goes to the college that she wants to go to, then she'll do better. So that's very valuable for me. And also to begin to get my paperwork in order now. So that information is just precious. Nobody has raised their hands. So people pretty much are not, they don't have any questions right now. But what I'm thinking is going to happen, and what I know is going to happen, is that after we go off the air, there are some parents that are going to say, you know what, I need to talk to Regina Robinson. So, Regina, I want you to give us your contact information and also let us know what's coming up. What do you have going on right now as far as college tours or other events that are coming up? And before you do that, we do have a caller, so I'm going to put this caller on the air. Amen. Hallelujah. Area code 973. Welcome to the moment with Pastor Rebecca. Area code 973.
Hi.
Your mic is open.
Hello. Good evening, Pastor Rebecca, and what an awesome host, guest you have today. I have a question for one of my friends who was giving me in reference to her daughter. When you were discussing some of the colleges and making sure that they're prepared, whether it's it could be a junior college, a liberal college, private, question specifically is her, it's her granddaughter. Her children waited too late, so now her daughter's in her senior year and her SAT scores aren't that high. Would you suggest that she starts off at a two-year college?
Well, there's a couple of things to the dynamics for that, and you say her SAT scores aren't that high, and, you know, some people look at not that high as a different dynamics of not that high, but it would depend on what's her GPA in line with her SAT scores as well, because there are a lot of colleges that don't just look at your test scores.
Okay.
So I would have to know her GPA as well to try and give her a concise answer to say whether a two-year college, because if she's a strong academic student and she's just testing low, that just means she's an anxiety test taker, and I wouldn't encourage her to just start at a two-year college just because of that, because there are a lot of colleges that she can look at that don't even require her scores depending on her GPA, as well as she could get in even kind of depending on what you mean by low scores.
Okay. Well, she just said GPA is, I think she said around 2.5. It's 2.5. That's what she had said. So she considered it to be low. And now her granddaughter is starting to take it more seriously with her education. But like you were saying, it's the senior year, and now the colleges are looking at her GPA as well as the SAT scores and trying to, you know, some of the schools are not accepting her.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, see, and that also goes back to when I said that students are doing research, but when they're researching, they're not researching based off of where they fall in the academic profile. So if you know you're a 2.5 student and you're maybe in between math and reading, which most colleges only look at math and reading, if you're scoring around a 950, then if I'm going to use the 973 is like a New Jersey area code, when you're looking at somewhere like Rutgers, New Brunswick campus, they're not looking at students in that area, in that fall range or whatever, but then you look at somewhere like Keene University and they might take her. So there's a flip side to that. That doesn't mean that there's not a college for her, but in the 973 area code, there are a number of colleges, so that sounds like that's around Linden or Newark somewhere. So there are a number of colleges in New Jersey and Newark and New York all alone, so that she could probably get in access with a 2.5. And, again, I don't know where her math and reading scores are exactly, but every student is a case by case, and we would have just looked at her scores, her GPA, and what she had to offer as a well-rounded student, and would have tried to help her profile food that she actually could try and get some guesses from as opposed to all them.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'm going to relay that. That was good information. Thank you. I'm going to relay that to her grandmother. You brought up Keene. Keene is looking into her, like, Keene is one of the colleges that still trying to work with her, so just didn't give her a decision yet. So.
Absolutely. You know what? Regina, that you called at the right time, because Regina can help this family. They can call her and consult with her to see if she actually can work with them to get their child into the best higher education institution. You know, so you want to get her into the best school. So call Regina. I'm going to have Regina give her information now. She's getting ready to give out her contact information. So please write it down and give it to your friend. And have them give her a call to see if there's anything that she can do to work with them.
Okay.
And I encourage the young lady to not give up, because although it's her senior year, it's never too late. You want to get it done early, but we don't want her to get discouraged that because it's now at the last minute that she believes, okay, now I just can't go to college. I see that happen with too many students, and there's so many possibilities. I had a young man I just worked with last Thursday complete 5 applications and essays for all of them, and he's now applied to 5 schools, and his parents just met me. But the bottom line is he was getting discouraged and thought, well, okay, I'm not going to go to college. I'm just going to either go in the military, or maybe I'll just go to a community college. That's because when you have that lack of knowledge and you don't have assistance, you just automatically give up, because that's the first sign of comfort. But we don't want any child to have to feel like they're forced into comfort to give up when there are so many resources and opportunities to make sure they can be successful.
Excellent. The Bible says that we perish for lack of knowledge, and that's why God is using that people like Regina, who have the vision and the passion, not only that, but the expertise to be able to help us to make sure that our children are getting the education that they need. So this is just so powerful, and I would love to keep Regina on the line, but we do have another guest. So Tina, I thank you so much for calling in with that question.
You're
welcome. And again, stay on the line and take down Regina's information.
Thank you for calling in. So Regina, please give us
give us your contact information, give us your upcoming events, anything that you have coming up, any college tours that you have coming up, as well as your website.
Okay, great. So our website, where families can go and get more information, and we have a lot of free resources right on our website for families, is Suited, S-U-I, T as in Tom, E-D, the numeric 4, success, SUCCESS.org. So it's Suited, the number 4, success.org. They can also call our office. We're open Monday through Friday, and the number is area code 240-318-3468. Again, 240-318-3468. And if they would like to stay connected with us and get our monthly College Bound newsletter, where we send out scholarship information, events that are going on, just information to try and help students and parents be successful in the college process, they can also subscribe to our newsletter by just texting the word student to 66866. Again, they can text the word student, and it does not charge them any texting fees, to 66866, and they will automatically be put on our email list to receive our monthly College Bound newsletter. If they're not tech savvy, they can also subscribe to our College Bound newsletter via our website as well. And so some of the upcoming events that we have, if you're in the Maryland local area here in Prince George's County, DMV area in Maryland or Virginia, we have practice tests that we do through Princeton Review in the community. We have one coming up in March and one coming up in May. Registration is now open for the March test. And you can go on our website and find out information about that under our upcoming events page. And we also have our upcoming HBCU College Tour, which will go from April 5th through April 8th, where we will visit Clark Atlanta, Spelman, Morehouse, North Carolina A&T, Hampton, and Virginia State. Although we're leaving from the Washington, D.C. area, if you can get to D.C., you can travel with us from no matter where you come from. We've had kids come from New Jersey, kids come from Delaware just to go on our trip. So you can also go on our trip if you live in another state. We're also going to be having, a webinar on the 5 mistakes to choosing the right fit school coming up on March 25th. Stay tuned for more details on that, and that'll be online. You can just log in from the comfort of your own home and learn what mistakes your children are making in choosing the right fit school, and that's, again, on March 25th. Details will be coming up on our upcoming events page for that webinar as well.
Amen. Praise God. Well, Regina, thank you so much. And I'm going to also be posting the events that I have that she's already sent me flyers for those upcoming events on my page on Facebook, Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. So you can go over there and make sure that you like that page. And also when the webinar comes up, Regina, make sure you get me that information so that we can post it on the page and we can post it on Woman to Woman Empowerment Group as well. Regina, thank you so much for being with me on today. And I look forward to having you come back when we can give you some more time to begin to share with us about the college preparation process and Suited for Success.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Rebecca. And also, they can follow us on social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram for Suited, the number 4, Success, and on Twitter at S4S College Bound. We're always posting College Bound things on our social media pages as well.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're looking forward to it. You've been a blessing to us, and we know that this preparation process is so important, not just to start in the senior year, but to start as soon as we hit high school with our young people. So, again, I thank you for coming, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.
Yes. Thank you again, Pastor Rebecca, and have a wonderful and blessed evening.
You too. God bless you. Amen. Wow.
Thank you. I wish
I had more time for that young woman because she is a wealth of information in the area of college preparation for our students. You know, our students are our future. Our children are our future. Amen. So we want to make sure that we are investing in our children. Without further delay, I tell you, both of these women are so powerful, and I should have just scheduled them separately. I'm going to have both of them come back to begin to share with us so that we won't be rushed. But this woman of God that's coming, she's here, and I'm going to just read her bio. Meredith Hammond is a woman of God first and a wife and a mother of two. She was raised in Philadelphia and attended Drexel University, where she received a degree both in civil engineering and architectural engineering. During the first 18 years of her career with New Jersey Department of Transportation, she managed multi-million dollar projects. Due to her desire to connect with people and help make a difference, she pursued a career change and has served as a community relations manager since 2009 at NJDOT. It was the same desire that led Meredith to start her company, Simply Saying, in 2006. Simply Saying is a motivational and empowerment company. Over the past 7 years, Meredith has had the opportunity to speak to both adults and young people about various life topics. It was during the summer of 2012 that Meredith accepted that it was her time to coordinate and conduct her own workshops designed to empower and uplift women. She continues to host these workshops every 8 to 10 weeks. One of her models is "One word can make a difference," and another is "Imagine greater, do better, and shine." She's also a life coach. She's a powerful woman of God. She believes that with guidance, she can assist someone to develop a game plan to reach their goal. Her company also offers motivational and inspirational products. Her daily words of encouragement can be found on Facebook at www.facebook.com/simplysaying. And I'm giving you her email address now. She can be reached via simplysaying@verizon.net. So without further delay, I'm bringing to you another powerful woman of God. Welcome, Meredith Hammond. God bless you, and welcome to Women with Pastor Rebecca.
Thank you. Good evening, Pastor Rebecca. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight? I'm doing very well. I'm blessed, highly favored of the Lord, and just excited to be able to have you on the broadcast tonight.
I am too. You know, and I have to say, first thing first, I was listening in to Regina, is it?
Yes, and Regina Robinson.
I wish I had kind of tuned in a little earlier, but her wealth of information I plan on sharing with a lot of friends. My son actually just was accepted into Hampton University. We were just down there this weekend, and it's a lot of work, as you mentioned, and you cannot start soon enough. So that information I plan on actually sharing the blog later on Facebook just to let some of my friends get some of her contact information. That was a blessing, I must say. So I had to put this out there.
She gave a whole wealth of information that we can all use. And I was saying, I just regret that I didn't schedule you both separately. So I'm going to have you both come back because I believe that God wants to speak through you tonight, as well as he has already spoken through Regina to give us information. The Bible says we should prosper and be in good health, even as our souls prosper. So we have to have balance, you know. And so many times we're getting things for ourselves and we're leaving out our young people, leaving out our children. So I just believe that was great information. I just wish I could have scheduled it separately. But I want to just have you go ahead and take the floor, because what you do, I've been watching you for a while on Women to Women Empowerment Group. And what you do, simply saying, just caught my interest. And I said, I have to invite this woman of God to come on and speak into the lives of the listeners. So I want you, I don't want to interview you. I just want to let you go and have you begin to speak life into the women and begin to motivate, inspire. Don't worry about, I know we're going off the air at about 8 o'clock, but don't feel rushed or stressed out. We're going to just take our time and allow God to speak, because I know that there's something that he wants to say. And then after you speak, I'm going to ask you about simply saying, because I know you have something coming up and we want to hear about that as well. So I'm giving you the mic. The mic is yours.
Amen. 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 Ladies, I prayed. I went to the Lord. And I said, what would you have me to say today? And that's always what I do before speaking. I think it's important that if you're going to be a vessel of God, that you be a vessel of God and you humble yourself. And he just reminded me of what he always has called me to speak of, which is his love. Mm. And every time I speak about God's love, I stay in that moment so long that sometimes somebody has to pull me back. It is my favorite topic to delve into. And there's so many areas to get into. And this year, if anybody's been seeing anything I post on social media, I've been reminding women that they are God's baby girl. And I think it's so very important for us to have an intimate relationship with our dad. And so many times we refer to God as God, which he is. He is God Almighty. We refer to him as Father. Yes, he is. He is Father. But as Christ said, Abba, there's an intimacy. And I need for us as women to turn to our daddy. And I think, you know, so many times you say, Lord, why did this happen in my life? And why didn't that happen in my life? And as I reflect upon my life, I didn't grow up with my dad. I grew up with my mom, single household in Philadelphia, me and my sister. I knew I had a biological father, was very close with his side of the family. I didn't know him. People would say, you look like him. Oh, my goodness, you look just like your daddy. And it was so many times growing up, I would go on Germantown Avenue in Philadelphia and look around and wonder, is that man my daddy? Is that man my daddy? Never said it to my mom, but I would think it as a child. And I could only imagine that that was part of my process to get to this relationship with God. Because so many times, instead of turning, we begin to seek daddy in somebody else. And I'm here to say, you don't need to seek daddy in nobody else. God is the one. I watch the relationship between my young daughter and my husband, and it's beautiful. Picture of a father's love towards his daughter. And it's quite different than a father's love that you see acted out towards his son, because I have a son as well. And ladies, sometimes we want that love, and we begin to feel as though we're unworthy of it. I just want to say, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. If you weren't worthy, God would not have created you. I need women to understand that. Every time he speaks life, it is with purpose. Called you to be. I don't care if you was created in the backseat of a car or in a house between a married couple. You were purposed to be. Have no doubt don't believe what the world would tell you. You are worthy of love. And we as women struggle with that, so many of us. We struggle with accepting our worthiness. One of my pet peeves, and I will say this, and some may not totally agree, but I hear so many of us, this old school, this traditional, thank God that he loved me. I'm not worthy of God's love. God says that where? God said, for God so loved the world, that's me, that's you, and everybody else. So right there in of itself, if you weren't worth his love, he would not have done the action to show you that you're worth his love. So instead of saying and speaking that kind of negativity, I'm not worthy, thank God anyway. No, God created me. Therefore, I am worth his time. I'm worth his attention. And in the process, see, when you own that worthiness, now you're going to stand up a little straighter. Wait a minute. I'm worth God's time. He took note of me. Let me act a little differently. Because, see, as I like to tell the women who I come across, don't just act like God's baby girl. Think like his princess. And let me tell you something about princesses and all the fairy tale stories I've seen about princesses and even the real life ones. One of the things I know, there's etiquette, there's behavior that they show, diplomacy. There's things that princesses do that will allow you to know off the rip that they're royalty. If you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you are God's baby girl, then also act like God's baby girl. Live in the moment, and I love saying this, live in the moment of God's love. When you begin to center yourself in that moment and start to be, you know, as they say, in the eye, in the epicenter of God's love, you're going to start to see a transformation even if you're not trying. Even if you're not trying hard, when you decide, you know what, I want to relate to my dad. One of the things my mom used to tell me, it didn't matter where we lived, when you step out of this house, you represent me. I better not, and yes, I'm going to speak a little slang, I better not get word that you done cut up. Because when you go out in my house, it's my name you bear. As God's baby girl, see, I don't take it for granted. It's easy to say you're saved. But as God's baby girl, when you want to expect things from your daddy, you need to do right by your daddy. So when you step out of your door, whether it's your house or your job, whatever, you need to make sure at all times that you realize that you represent. And representing does not mean you have to go around and go, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. You don't have to thump your Bible. It's all about your actions. It's all about how you react to situations. Because, see, God's baby girl, if that's who you are, if that's who you claim to be, she's going to be smooth in her situation. She's going to rise above self and rise up to the spiritual level and display her daddy all over the world. Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And see, when you're in that moment, it doesn't matter what the world says. When you're in that moment, it's so much easier to let go of baggage. When you're in the moment of love, all that's been dumped on you, all the labels that said you won't amount to anything, all the labels that say, yeah, I know you go to church, but I remember you when, all the labels that say you can't be saying you represent Christ now, not when you was out there doing X, Y, and Z, all those labels, you begin to get to let them go a lot easier. Because all you can see in the center of God's love is God's love. And you'll go, what? Who, me? It's okay, because each day I breathe in and I breathe out God. I breathe in and I breathe out God. So it doesn't matter what the world says. baby girl. And even though you want to call me who I once was, that's not who I am no more. I'm worthy of his love. I accept his love. And I'm going to get intimate. And when I say get intimate with God, it's not always, and I'm going to get a little real here, getting intimate is not always showing up at the church door every time it opens. There's a lot of folks who show up to church and aren't intimate with God. See, there's a lot of folks who flip through their Bible every day because somebody told them you should read Psalms 91 and you should read this every day. You should read the proverb of the day for the day of the week. I remember doing that as a kid. I was no more intimate with God than I was with the person four or five blocks away. Okay? Intimacy. For those of us who have relationships, whether it's your best friend, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your child or your mother or father, whomever, whoever has that closeness of a relationship, let me tell you, you know what makes them tick. You know what makes them smile. You know what makes them happy. You know their favorites and you know their dislikes. Why? Because you spend time in an intimate way with them. You enjoy putting a smile on their face. There's certain people in my life I look forward to making them happy. I look forward to making my children happy. I look forward to making my husband happy. We have an intimate relationship. I look forward to talking to them and asking them about their day. That's intimacy. That's that private thing that only you and God will have. And let me tell you, you get into that groove where you're sitting there in your car like I do some days, and I turn the radio off, and my kids know. I give them the look. And they go, Mom, I turn the radio. No, you cannot. I'm in my moment. And I get to just basking. And sometimes I'm sure people think I'm a little crazy because they'll see me laughing. And I'm having a moment with my daddy. And I'll sometimes say, oh, you know I was wrong. You know that was wrong. I know it was wrong. You know what? My bad, Dad. I just got a little beside myself. Because, see, when you're intimate, you can be transparent. What's to hide? I have such a close relationship with him that I know he doesn't see it anyway. I messed up. Dad, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. I need to do better. I know something's going to come my way and it's a consequence. But I'm acknowledging. And that's how I talk to him. That's true prayer. It's a conversation. Yeah. I sit in the car. I laugh. Let me tell you how intimate it can be. I will drive some days to the supermarket, and Lord knows I can attest to this, and so can my kids. And I'll get in that car. I'm like, Lord, listen here, Daddy. It's cold. It is extremely cold, and I'm not even playing around. I want a close spot, please. I don't want to walk today. If it means I got to circle twice, I will. But I'm telling you, Dad, I need a close spot. I'll get there, and I'll watch somebody for intimacy. Because when you're intimate, you can have the faith that's needed to believe him for the small things and the big things. Intimacy, you begin to say, like with my husband, intimacy allows you to trust somebody. I know him well enough to know that I can stand on his word. His word is bond. I'm here to tell you, my God's word is bond. And when you recognize that he is your daddy and you're his baby girl, you go, you know what? I'm going to go to my daddy on this one because I know his word is mine. When you have that relationship, and when the enemy comes and wants to attack, as I once said, you don't want none of this because I know who my daddy is. Do you know who my daddy is? Because if you did, you step back. Intimacy can allow you to say those words. And when you know who your daddy is, the enemy's going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. She knows her birthright. And I need to fall back because the blinders have been taken off of her eyes. I can only get with that person over there who's still walking around in darkness. But when you know who you are and you know that you're known by him, it's a new day. Ladies, it's a new day. And I need for you as women to accept that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what yesterday brought to you. What matters is what you're going to do in this moment. And when you bask in the moment of God's love, I'm here to tell you, you know what? You're going to start acting differently. Like, I look at my financial situations and I say, Lord, if I had only been acting like your baby girl years back, the things I'm asking you to get me out of now, I wouldn't be in. Because let me put you into a little known fact that we actually try to avoid. Debt is not of God. And when you decide that you're going to be his baby girl and act like it, your mindset's supposed to change.
That's
I'm going to act like his daughter. And therefore, the intimacy, I'm going to go to God first before I start making some choices in my life. Do I really need the new car? Do I really need to buy that dress? You know what? God is a God of order. See, when you're intimate with him, you start knowing things. Wow, he's a God of order. He's a God of structure. Wait a minute. Does that mean every part of my life? But yes, it does. That even includes your finances. When you know, then you start saying, okay, I want to please him. I want to be more like him. I want to make my daddy happy. Let me get my finances in check. Because how many of us, I know I'm there, I'm raising my hand even though you can't see me. How many of us have put ourselves in a financial constraint and then want to ask dad to pull us out? And don't get me wrong, plenty of times he will. But then we go right back in it. How about we stop going into it, act like we're family. Okay, how does my dad do things decent and in order? So maybe, just maybe, I need not create situations as such that's not becoming of his. I know he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. The word tells me that. However, I keep going over yonder trying to buy goats with money I don't have. Let me start acting and get my life in order structurally from everything, top to bottom, because I'm his daughter. And when I start doing that, when you start being in that moment, you start realizing there's a lot of things. And he'll start showing you, you know, little by little, you'll start wanting to change. I don't want to be in debt anymore. Let me tell you, I start acting more like his child. I start saying, okay, God, what's the plan? How do I get out of this situation? And let me tell you something that I like about my dad. Once you ask, once you come to him with a need, and need a solution, he will start dropping resources all around you.
Oh, yeah.
You really want to know how to get out? All right. Here's a little tidbit. Because guess what? There's a ram in the bush somewhere. Now, whether or not you want to use that ram, okay, that's up to you. But when you're ready to get out of situations, there's a ram in the bush somewhere. Daddy will provide. That's the one thing I can say about my dad. My dad will provide in my time of need. So when you are ready, he's going to have it right there. And you're going to go, oh, okay, I didn't know. Case in point, I'm going to pull it right back to Regina. Somebody today was saying, oh, Lord, my baby, all this stuff is overwhelming. FAFSA, you know, SATs, and this and that, and where do I get that? Ram in the bush was right there. The person may not even been a person on listening in today. It could have been like the woman today said, this is for somebody's grandmother. You don't know four or five persons removed where the resource is, but God has it there waiting for you. That's why I say one word, because when God tells you to open your mouth, there's been so many times I've opened my mouth thinking for one thing, talking to one person, somebody happened to ease in on that conversation and say, I got just what you need. Oh, you do? And I look up and say, Dad, there's another gym. And I start to do my happy dance inside my head sometimes because, you know, sometimes the world can't handle the happy dance right in front of their face. So in my head, I jump up and down. And I'm like, you never cease to amaze me when you turn around and start dropping these resources. And they're there for us. And ladies, I'm here to remind you, God's got it. If you seek him, if you truly are looking and seek him, and if it's in his will, like I always like to tell people, he is not Santa Claus. It's got to be according to the master's will. But when you get intimate with him, you start to know what's his will and what's not. As you get a little intimate, you go, you know what, why am I even coming to him for that? I know. That's not what he wants from me at this moment. And if you're not sure, then the easiest thing to say, look, your big brother did it. Thy will be done. If it's your will, Lord, that's the simplest thing to ask. Lord, if it's your will for me to have that car, thy will be done. Show me. Give me direction. Lead me. That's what intimacy will lead you to. So, ladies, I can go on. And I can go on. I don't have a clock in front of me, but when you take that moment and you snuggle up real close to him, I mean, that snuggle where you just go, Dad, thank you. And one time I asked somebody, I said, I need you all day long, starting from the time you get up, to just thank God for every little blessing you notice. Mm-hmm. And I said, I mean every little blessing you notice, from the car to having the job, to, you know what, eating breakfast, eating lunch, to the clothes on your back. I mean, just little, when you just missed getting hit, or when you just got into the elevator, and if you hadn't, you would have missed your meeting. There's little things you don't even think about, and you won't even take the moment. When you start taking the moment to recognize all that he's doing in your life, you can't thank him enough.
Yeah.
And so when it says pray without ceasing and doing these things without ceasing, I just say, how can you do that all day, Lord? Really? But when you start catching yourself and start acknowledging him, and at the end of the day, God wants love, and he wants to be acknowledged, and he enjoys the praises. He inhabits that. And when you start taking time to give him praise, find out that you're in less stupid stuff. We as women like to gossip. I'll be the first one to admit it. Lord knows this tongue of mine. And it's funny because the gift that he gives, which is, for me, is the gift of words. I have been blessed to speak. I remember one time my director at my job, as director, had said, you're like the Pied Piper Meredith. This man was not a Christian. He says, you have a silver tongue. Always use it for good, he said, because when you get on your soapbox, people are drawn to you. And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to take that, because God used him. It's amazing. He used that man to prepare me for what he had in store for me. That man would push me to make me go speak at different engineering events, and I would be so nervous. But what God was doing was cultivating me to get me comfortable, to be in front of people. And God finally said, Meredith, when I put the words in front of you, inside of you, what's there to worry about? And when that got up into my spirit, I said, well, all right, we can do this thing. I'm not going to be like Moses and say, give me Aaron. If you said, speak, Lord, have voice will travel. Where do you want me? But see, that's the intimacy when you can trust him and go, you know what, he ain't going to never let me down. He's not going to let me down. And so, ladies, I want to encourage you. Find that time where you get to know him. He already knows you. He says, I've been calling out to you since before you were. Isn't that rich? That's rich. You know, we talk about the man finding the woman. It says, you know, when the man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And that man's in search and search. And you'd be like, women are so happy. Yeah, I got a good man. I got a good husband. And he found me. And he's so good to me. But I'm here to tell you, God has been calling out. He's been calling our names individually. He knew us before we were. He's known you. He's waiting on you to know him.
Yeah.
And once we take the moment to turn towards him, and get to know him, a light is going to shine in your life. And I promise you this, because I know this to be true, a light is going to shine in your life. It may start small, doesn't matter, but the more you turn towards him, the more you turn towards him, the brighter it will become, and the less darkness you will have in your own life. I'm not going to say there won't be woes and frustrations and all that, because you know what? They all serve a purpose too. But what I'm here to say is the hope and the comfort of knowing that your daddy is right there and never leaves, even in your darkest moment. He never leaves. He's right there, and that's why you will never hit rock bottom with God. You may feel like you've hit rock bottom, but his hand is always underneath you. It just may not seem that way in the darkest moment, but trust me, God's baby girls never hit the bottom. We may go down, but our Father's there holding us the whole time, raising us back up to stand.
Yes. Wow.
I need you to trust him. I need you to trust him and draw closer. If nothing else, you take a moment this evening and just say, hey, Dad, I love you.
Jesus.
And you're going to know he loves you back. Sister, I can go on. Like I said, this is where I do.
I love Jesus. I love God. I love him. He's just so, what a mighty God we serve. And what a rich verse that you brought to us on tonight. And I can listen to you all night because you are speaking my language and you are just really edifying the souls of the women and the men that are listening. And we just thank God for you. Again, I knew coming in tonight that I was going to need more time, and I just don't have it tonight. But I just thank God for you. And Meredith, I need you. I know the bird says let your yay be yay and your nay be nay, but I need you to give me a yay tonight that you will come back and that you will come back soon to share with us. And I'm going to put you in on the top of the hour, and I'm going to give you the whole hour to just talk with you and converse with me. Just be my co-host. Just come in and sit with me and let's talk to the women, because there is something in you that God is using for women. And I saw it. I feel like I know you. I've never met you. I know you're from Jersey. But I know that God connected us divinely, and I'm looking forward to what he's going to do in the future. But I do have, I got to go. And I'm like, my God, tonight of all nights, I have to cut off the broadcast. But other than that, I would stay. I would stay because God has really spoken, and I feel the warmth of his love. The warmth of his love. So I thank God for you. I need you to give me a yay to come in back.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I need you to tell us really quickly about this God's Baby Girl conference that's coming up and any other events that you're coming up. I need you to give the listeners, because the archives, people are hitting up the archives like crazy. We have a full switchboard here. Please tell us where we can meet you, what's going on with you. Tell us about the conferences that are coming up. Tell us about anything else that's coming up so that we can, because I know people are saying, I need more. I need more. So please tell
Amen. March 21st in Philadelphia, if you were to go to Simply Saying Love at eventbrite.com, you'll find out the location, which is 224 East Gowland Avenue. We're having the first of our tour this year, God's Baby Girl Tour. You'll get some more, which you just heard. Also, my mother, evangelist Nora Jackson Hill, will be speaking. I love my mommy. And we're looking to have an awesome, awesome time in the Lord. I just thank God for what he's doing in the lives of women around me. I just want to let you know that the email address has been changed. I had to change it so that it would not change again. So it's simplysayingceo@gmail.com. So that's the email address. By all means, ladies, give me, inbox me at that email address. You can follow me on Facebook. Also, if by chance someone needs to talk, 609-516-8666. If by chance you're looking for someone, call me. I'm more than willing to come about and to speak, whether it's to women or young people. God is good. Sister, I'm looking forward. You know, I thought about this all day. I was looking forward to this moment. I was meditating before I called. There's some things that even if it's off the air, that I would love opportunities for us to collaborate and do some things in your area. I've been wanting to get to North Jersey for a while and do the part of the Girl Tour.
That's what I'm sitting here. I'm like, I need her in New Jersey. I need her here. Where my women's conference is in October. I know this is a God connection. So, and I might sound emotional, but I'm spirit led, and I do believe the spirit is leading our daddy. Like you said, he's making a divine connection here. So, we're going to talk. You and I will talk, and I want you again. I'm going to go over my calendar and find a time when I don't have a guest scheduled. We did schedule it really quickly as God was relaunching Women to Women with Pastor Rebecca, but I want you to come and sit with me and be with me for an hour as my only featured guest, and then just give us a word at the end, be our spotlight preacher, and we're going to push this event for the 21st of March.
Yes, ma'am, yes.
Yes, so it's going to be on the page. I'm going to put it on Women to Women with Pastor Rebecca. You're already at the Women to Women Empowerment Group. God is doing something here, so I'm excited. And, again, I thank you for coming to be with me on today. And I'm looking forward to you coming again really soon, Meredith.
I thank
you for the word that you released and for this just coming and blessing us.
I'm humbled. I stay humble, and I think, I don't say that just piously. I am humbled to be able to be used by God to be a vessel. It's sometimes I go and I say, me? Thank you, Lord. And, you know, when words come easy, and they do, they've always come easy for me, but they've come even easier when I'm doing it for the Lord. And I love them. So I'm looking forward to meeting you, actually. I want to meet you face to face. I'm looking forward to that happening soon.
Amen. Amen. So,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to connect. And, again, I thank you for being my guest on today. And God bless you. We will be connecting on the back wall of Facebook. And, again, look forward to hearing from Meredith again. And go out to God's baby girl. Go out and be a part of what God is doing through her in Philadelphia. I'm going to look at my calendar and see if I can get there. But get there if you can, because I know God's going to move. So God bless you, Meredith. Thank you so much for being my guest today here on Women to Women with Pastor Rebecca. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a powerful, powerful woman of God. God bless you all. Listen, I have to go off the air right now. So God bless you. Join me next week on Women to Women with Pastor Rebecca. Amen. Know that God loves you, and so do I. Never let anything stand in the way of your purpose. And remember what Meredith said. Stay intimate with our Father who are in heaven. He loves you. God loves you. He is your Father. He is your Dad. Stay intimate with Him. Amen. And He will always be with you, never leaving you or forsaking you. God bless you. Go in peace and serve our God.